Hello and welcome back to Unpaid Movie Critics, the podcast that says, yes, if you're in New Zealand, we love you. I am Mike from MikeTheFanboy.com. I'm joined by the woman who likes to insert her name into every movie line she can possibly can. The woman who dances when she feels joy. The woman who says, if Snoopy can dance this dance, I can dance this dance. Miss Becky Fixel from the Detroit Film Critics Association. Yay!
Yay! We'll put applause in. So what Mike is talking about, we got an email today saying that our podcast is the top 51st top podcast.
We're in the top 50, right?
We're 51st, I think. 51st in New Zealand for film podcasts.
Hey, let's take it.
Yeah, that's great because we have a total of like 5 listeners, I think.
and they're all from New Zealand and we appreciate
The majority of our numbers are from the US and Germany and 2% come from New Zealand.
Hey.
So thank you to the 2% that put us at 51st in New Zealand.
Is that like the 1%ers? Is that what they refer to that as?
Maybe. We're just that special.
Maybe we are that special. So how are you today, Becky? And what movies have you seen this week?
Oh, good Lord. Hold on. I have a list. I've seen 6 movies this week. It's really weird because things are slowing down again because COVID. And I think while the COVID numbers, at least here, I don't know about out there, are starting to kind of dip and level.
We're dipping.
The studios are freaking out because people are apprehensive to go into movie theaters. You know, I've got 3 in-person invites for next week that one of the movies I don't want to see. So that was never going to happen. And the other 2, I'm probably not going to go see because I really don't care that much. So I saw the new Ice Age movie that's actually on Disney Plus now. What is it? Ice Age Adventures of Buck Wild.
That sounds exciting. I want to see the new Ice Age movie so much.
It's one that your niece and nephew would really like. It only brings back Simon Pegg as the voice actors.
Couldn't afford Ray Romano?
Well, he's kind of like a tertiary character. He's not a major one in this. It's like his wife's half-brothers that are the possums. It's really their story going out to start their own adventures.
I have no idea the words that just came out of your mouth. Awesome. It's
the 6th movie and there's like 8 shorts and some other made for streaming content. Like this franchise is much bigger than I've seen like the first 2, maybe 3 of the movies. I don't care that much about it, but it's on Disney Plus. Kids are going to love it. I saw that Long Night one, which was the horror movie, which is about it has a lot of the really bad horror tropes in it. Like this girl's going down south to find out about her family. She's taking her rich boyfriend with her who went to Catholic school, who magically can read everything in Latin perfectly. And because everybody who goes to Catholic school learns Latin fluently. There's a cult and it's okay. It's pretty bad. Mm. So when people go and watch horror movies, they're probably going to tear it apart.
Nice.
But it wasn't the worst movie.
What was the worst one?
One called Jockey. It's from Sony Classic Pictures. It's about an jockey who's aging out. He also is finding out that he has Lou Gehrig's disease, I believe it is. And some kid thinks he's his son. And it was really, really slow and boring. So
it sounds it.
Yeah. So, you know, it's been a great movie week.
Ice Age Jockey, that you just combine them.
Right.
You have the ferrets riding horses, then they'd be interesting. And it's like, oh, look, the ferret's like, what? I got a kid. Yeah. And I have a lower back problem.
Right.
I think all of that combined, animated wise, you know, he's like, oh, I can't move. It'd be funny.
But they were possums, but same not that thing. That matters at all. I saw 2 documentaries. One is called Writing with Fire. It's about women in India in the lowest caste system who start their own newspaper, and which is actually was interesting. Sony sent another one, and all I had was the short version of the name called Who We Are. I started playing it. The full version is Who We Are, A Chronicle of Racism in America. So, you know, a nice and light topic. It was actually really fascinating and entertaining. Well, not entertaining, but it was a good documentary.
That racist movie about all racisms was really entertaining. It was a humdinger, kids.
It was very informative, and things like we're not taught about. So
I wanted to go to a hootenanny after watching that racism documentary. It was delightful. I had an apple pie.
And then the last one is The Fabulous Filipino Brothers, which has, it's a comedy. It was okay. I mean, of all the movies, it was probably the best one, which says something.
Is somebody in it?
Yes. Let me get his name. Hold on. I have things written down. I haven't written the review for it yet. The main person is Dante Basco.
Oh, Dante Basco.
Rufio.
Was he Rufio?
Yes. In 91. Yeah, in Hook.
Rufio!
Yeah. So he's the name, and I believe it's actually his family.
Okay. No. He's the name, air quotes.
Okay, fair. But it's a well done movie.
That's cute.
But
I'm sure it was an indie film, and you know.
Yeah. It's from 1091 Media.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah. But I mean, of all of the movies, that was, you know, the most interesting one. I mean, the documentary on racism in America is interesting. But all of these movies have a very, very targeted audience. And that's going to be a lot of their problems.
Well, I mean, you know, horror movies are pretty general, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but you really have to be kind of looking for that one to even know it exists.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's January still. It'll be February when this podcast
is in February dead zones. They really are.
It is. So I mean, good they're getting out there. And also we have what was it? Sundance happened this week.
Virtually. Yeah. It was all virtual. Was that right?
Well, it wasn't originally, and I actually missed the deadline to apply for it. I had a friend who was going virtually, and then I had friends that were going to Utah for it. Oh. And then they canceled it. And they went all virtual. So the friends still went out there because, well, Park City is adorable. And they just took it as a little trip. And I guess they sat in their hotel room watching whatever.
Why would you go to Utah to sit in a hotel?
Well, I mean, they did other stuff too. But to me, like if they canceled it, I'd be like, you know what? I like Park City. It's really, I mean, I don't know if you've been there. It is like.
I haven't. I've actually wanted to always see Sundance. And then I look at the snow.
Okay, so there is that, but obviously snow's a non-issue for me. But
well, living in the barren outlack Arctic tundra.
We have like an inch of snow. We have been so lucky this year. And then next week we have a storm coming through that can give us like 10 inches. And I was like,
I don't wear a jacket right now.
What?
I'm not wearing a jacket outside right now.
Yeah. So
just saying, that's why my mortgage is so high. But
there is that. We've had that discussion a few times.
This summer, it's going to be so sweltering hot. I'm going to walk outside and drip sweat like a wildebeest.
I mean, we have that for like a week.
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, last year in LA, it wasn't that bad. 2 years ago, I remember there was one day I went out to a screening with Billy Crystal and it was so hot. It felt like you were walking through the desert. Like you know, it was just like, it was radiating. And I was like, this motherfucker needs to sign some Princess Bride shit. So I have no choice. But otherwise, everyone stayed in their house and ramped up the
right. I mean, we went, I was there, I don't know, however many years ago, Doc Strange came out. I was there for the press junket. It was freaking 90 degrees in October.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm not used to this. I am going
Where
to.
Are we? So there's that.
Right. I was like, it shouldn't be 90 degrees in October. And it was over my birthday weekend too. So it was ridiculous. And I was like, I just like the fall colors and apple cider and all that time of year. I don't want to be melting.
You should say, I like apple cider and fall colors. Oh, and I want to drink a mint julep by the pool.
I am not from Savannah. So no.
I'm just waiting here in Savannah. And I'm just looking for a nice little movie to review. And I can't watch one because they're
all. This is the man who just spent his holidays in Tennessee, right?
What was that?
You just spent your holidays in Tennessee, right?
Well, that's just. It's Kentucky, but yeah. Close it enough. Wasn't a holiday. It was COVID.
But still. But okay. So, I mean, that's for a lot. That's 7 hours south of here.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
God bless them. Actually, my mom lives right outside of Louisville. So it's actually pretty nice. I enjoyed it. But
that's good. Other than COVID.
Well, yeah, this was a rough year. Yeah. You know, it was kind of funny. Like, you know, as we were talking, it got me thinking, actually, you know, about trilogies and movies and their sequels.
Right.
The movies that we love that are either, you know, sequels or trilogies or have good sequels and you can actually follow them. You know, you immediately think of Marvel.
Right. Well,
Marvel done an amazing job.
Other than the last couple, but yes.
Let me tell you, Eternals was a piece of shit. But other than that.
Did you watch Shang-Chi yet, though?
I did watch Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi.
I gave it a B plus.
Okay,
it was a little formulaic, and I thought Awkwafina was Awkwafina.
Yeah, but she does come into her own later in it. She doesn't. She's
yeah. I mean, you know, it's fine. I mean, I don't mind her like other people do. I thought there was something missing. Is what it was.
Okay, fair.
I felt like. I felt something missing, and that's just kind of, but I feel like that way with a lot of the new Marvel films. So that's not just it. I don't know if Doctor Strange is going to help that because it's characters we know and care about.
Right.
But, you know, as you dilute your brand with new characters and here's this random movie and here's this new movie and here's this thing, but you have to bring new characters in, but without the legacy characters, I'm wondering how long it'll all be sustained.
Yeah, well, you it's know, and I think we mentioned right? this, like when we were talking about show reboots and stuff, like the new CSI, the first season is done, and then Gil and Sarah are leaving. We don't remember any of the old or the new characters' names because they brought them in for the brand recognition, and now they're all gone again. That is not going to sustain.
No, and it's really interesting to think about it because if you have these lackluster films, I'm not saying Shang-Chi was lackluster. I think it was fine. I felt it was a formulaic origin story and it didn't bring anything new to the table. And the problem is most of these new movies aren't bringing things new to the table.
No.
They're all the same kind of rehash.
And we also don't know where they're trying to take us because before we had a clear path where we were going and now it's just kind of, all right, let's throw these characters in.
Right. And I mean, I didn't see the new Spider-Man movie yet because I didn't feel like I just didn't go, you know, theater wise. I was sick, so I didn't get a chance to go. I do want to see it. I hear it's amazing. So there will be that. But that was Sony and not necessarily in the Marvel. It is the Marvel universe. I mean, you know, it's all very confusing sometimes to really plot it out. But I feel like that notwithstanding, I feel like the last Marvel films just haven't really lived up to their full potential. And
agreed.
I think it's really hard to introduce all these rando characters and make people give a shit. And I don't know where they're gonna go. Now, I mean, you know, as you talk about, I also saw Snake Eyes.
Yeah.
With
the G.I. Joe movie.
The G.I. Joe origin story with, oh my God, what's his name? I'm blanking. From Crazy Rich Asians. He was really good in it. I thought he was pretty good in it. Henry Golding. I thought he was pretty good. I thought the movie itself was lacking I didn't understand necessarily what the hell was going on all the time, and it was a
pretty movie.
Yeah, I just felt like there again, the G.I. Joe movies have never done a good job.
No, and I think that one, and that's part of the issue they had. They're trying to pick up on the superhero and everything picking up with football. And while it was a relatively entertaining movie, it didn't have what it needs to actually like push into another one to make it a series.
No, Baroness and Scarlet were horrendously terrible, like to the point where they both needed to go get acting classes because who cast them, I don't know. And I think Samara Weaving, who played Scarlet, isn't necessarily a bad actress. I do feel like here she was totally miscast. And I thought the same way kind of in Bill and Ted, because she was in Bill and Ted Face the Music. I felt like both of those roles, like, ugh. Now in a supporting role where she's kind of more subdued, I think she was fine, like in Three Billboards.
Right.
But
that movie's really good, just really heavy.
Yeah, really heavy. So. And I think when she's in a supporting role, she's easier. And even though these are both supporting roles, I don't know if they were directed properly. And so this movie, it had some fun action sequences. I thought with the swords and, you know, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But it really kind of was a B-. It really was lacking in a lot of ways. And I kind of thought I would like it more than I did, which I was kind of surprised. The first G.I. Joe film, now as we're going into different, you know, sagas, which is apparently the theme of the day, with Channing Tatum, you know, C-Tates. That's when I really enjoyed C-Tates.
Still enjoy him. Visually.
Yeah, you know. C-Tates. I liked the first G.I. Joe. I thought it was good. I thought they had a lot of places to go with it. I thought it was kind of the fun. It kind of had the comic booky kind of feel. Was it perfect? 100% no. I didn't love Rachel Nichols as Scarlet. I didn't like, what's her name, as Baroness. Apparently, they're really hard to cast, those two characters. And then the next one.
I don't think it could be hard to cast because they're not really well-developed characters.
Well, no, and that's, you know, that's the funny thing. It's like that really, it all comes down to it. It's the same thing we complained about with Scream, or I ranted about with Scream, which, by the way, I called a friend of mine today and I ranted again. Found new things to rant about, but I'll let you go with that.
Bless.
But that really is the issue. Even if you have leads or supporting characters, you can't just give them a quirk and be done. It's like,
no, you have to have
well-rounded people.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, look, she's a bitch. Great. Okay. Oh, look, he's a dick. Okay, cool. But that's not the crux of anybody.
No.
And anyone you know isn't just like that, you know? And I mean, you can look to characters like in Buffy, even though that's a series and you have more time to develop, but you can still do that in a film. You know, Cordelia was awesome. She was the queen bee and she was kind of bitchy, but there, you know, even from the first thing, you could tell. She wasn't, there was more to
her. She wasn't flat. She wasn't just a trait.
Yeah, but, and even the dicks and you know, the typical Jackson, you know, that was really well done because they were planning ahead. And in films, they can do that too, and I don't understand.
No, but you know, and it's something that I've noticed, and well, I'm not the only one that's noticed, but majority of women's characters, unless they're the lead, they're not developed. They're there as just things, accessories.
Right.
And yes, you can say the same about some of the male characters, but 90% of the movies out there, still, it's a male-driven character story, everything. And the women are just there to push it along.
Yeah, it is true. I mean, I think, you know, it's really funny. Unless you're looking at some art house movie, I think it's across the board more and more. I think the male characters are becoming less developed to kind of even out.
They're trying to balance it.
It's not going the right way. It's not like, oh, hey, let's give them something. It's like, oh, make these characters worse so that we have really low expectations and they're all the same and they're flat and boring and they have no substance.
So if we're talking about going the wrong way in character development, let's talk about the new Sex and the City. I know Scott's been watching it. Have you?
Yeah, we watch it every week. We watched it last week. Yesterday.
I haven't watched this week yet, but those characters are so flat and one note.
Yeah.
Because, oh, I had hip surgery. All I'm worried about is wearing my heels again. Excuse me. Excuse me. That is what your one life goal is to wear heels until you die. Because I could wear heels now and fall down the stairs in 5 minutes. But your whole life goal, you are so petty and you are so vain. That's it.
You know, it's really an interesting thing. I really want to watch some of the old Sex and the City again, because I love that show.
Yeah.
I thought it was really well done. And I mean, I know it's television and I mean, you know, we're entertainment, but still it is interesting, because there's two rules of thought. Where would these people be in their 50s? And how to make this interesting.
Right.
And if you look at Sex and the City, one, yeah, the characters have gotten a little bit more shallow.
A little?
Which is shocking. I mean, look, if I was Carrie, yeah, I would mention the shoes, because that is a big part of her character, but that probably wouldn't be the biggest and first thing.
Right.
I think it's getting a little better as the weeks go on, or I'm getting used to it. I can't tell.
I think you're getting used to it, because, yeah. I mean, Charlotte, she seems to be oddly stuck in one place, but the most developed, where she's willing to change, but
right.
She's still so stuck in her little box. They're not letting her character grow, but it seems like she's trying. And then Miranda,
what the fuck did they do to her character?
They made her dumb. They dumped her down.
She was the smartest one. She was a fucking lawyer.
She was, and now she doesn't want to be. She doesn't want to be part of the problem. And they're going so far that I think Cynthia Nixon wants her character to reflect her personal life. She doesn't right. play the straight woman anymore, which is fine, whatever. But
Miranda
this
was straight,
relationship.
FYI, I'm just
saying. What?
Miranda was straight.
Yeah.
She was very straight.
Very straight, which fine. If you want to experiment, whatever. But that whole, you were so upset with Steve because he cheated on you.
Yeah. And then she went and did the same thing. It was.
With your friend watching.
Creepy and weird. And then it felt like whoever doing it, when it's Michael Patrick King, he did the original series, it felt like they didn't watch or know what the fuck happened earlier. Because I think
the main actresses have a lot to do with the stories.
Which is bizarre. The only one I think is actually consistent as to where they probably would be now is Charlotte.
Yeah.
Miranda, if her husband cheated on her, they got through it, did the whole thing on the bridge, which was a beautiful scene.
It was.
I still question whether Steve would have ever cheated on Miranda.
No.
I don't think that. I think that was just done for the plot. I think that was weird, because I don't think he would have done it, but whatever. This is strange.
It is.
Like, it's very strange the way they're doing it.
And it's so disconnected from reality. It's still, I understand they brought in, you know, they have characters of color now because they didn't want it to be a whitewash show anymore, which
is great.
There's more LGBTQ characters because they wanted to bring in that inclusivity, which they had in the original, which was, you know, for the time.
Yeah.
It was groundbreaking because they didn't have that. But I think it's still a show about white women who have money in New York City who are out of touch with reality.
Yeah, and you know, I'll be honest, I think the people of color they brought in, it feels false.
Yeah.
Now, Scott likes their characters. I'm like, well, whatever. They all just seem like the one, I don't even remember their names, but the one that's struggling with fertility issues, that's literally every scene.
Yeah.
Every scene. Baby, no baby, baby, no.
And then
see Dr. 50. I just want to put that out there. Like, you're a little old to have a baby now. So not trying to be judgmental, but
it may not be happening for you, honey.
Time is ticking, you know, and I get that her husband is this, but is that all you do is talk about that or feel that way? It's like, you know, I have a lot of issues and you have a lot of issues, but we don't sit there and that's the first thing we talk about on a constant and or daily basis.
No.
It's weird. And then the other character,
Seema's always single.
Shit to do.
No, and then the other one's a stand-up comic who's not funny.
You mean Che D? That's just leave that out of the equation.
Yeah.
Every time they come into the.
Is that actress a they them or is she a she?
I don't know. Okay. I despise that character to such an extent. And they're trying really hard to make her likable. And
yeah. That's Sarah Ramirez, right?
I'm disliking her more and more. And it's not necessarily the actress's fault.
I like the actress.
It's just wild. I just am like, wow, this is the worst. Like, first off, she's like, wait, you don't have an open marriage? And I'm like, do people just assume people have open marriages?
Right, or do they just sleep with each other and not know?
I was like, well, first off, you shouldn't assume you have an open marriage. It should have been a conversation if that's a big problem for you. And then she's like, oh, I can't do this. And it's like, you know, you did just have Miranda blow up her life.
Right. You knew she was going to talk to her husband.
Right.
So if you didn't want something, and I know, I mean, I haven't seen this week's, but I know what's happening because it's all over the internet anyhow. But if you know she's going to have this conversation and you don't want to have a relationship, you say,
right,
the brakes, let's, you know. So it just seems like they tried to hit all of the right things and failed at it because they have no idea what reality is.
Well, right. And I feel like the two women of color they brought in, or three women of color, I guess, because Carrie's Reader. Apparently they all got a woman of color. Each of the women, if you notice, got a woman of color. Up.
Yeah.
And that I think was the weirdest part. I you know what I'm saying?
It's because, like they could have taken Shay out of the equation and just brought in, hey, we have a new Samantha type person who's a friend. You know, they didn't
bring in a Samantha. There's not one of those, which I mean, I get what they did that because you can't replace Samantha because Samantha's a fucking genius. And Kim Cattrall is such a good actress.
And she's so good in How I Met Your Father.
Is she? I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. But
I mean, it's a cute show. It's mindless, but it's adorable. So,
but she is the one that made the first series, and especially in the beginning, palatable. You know, because otherwise you had Miranda, who was kind of hard and harsh. You had Kristen Davis, who was judgmental and simple and sweet. And you had Carrie, who was kind of flighty, but she kind of brought it to a reality. And she's the character that comes in and be like, no, you're wrong. And she gelled the core. And you made them all interesting. And because, you know, they're bouncing off of each other, she kind of did that. That was her character. And
who did you relate to?
In the original, the funny thing is, like, I don't, you know, people are like, I'm a Miranda, I'm a Charlotte. I never had that. I don't
know, but there's still one that you
lean on. Samantha's 100% my favorite.
Fair. I liked her.
1000% my favorite. If I'm like, I'm closest, I'm like, probably half Samantha and half Charlotte. That's been, you know.
That actually tracks for you, yes.
Right. I mean, that really is. I'm half Charlotte, half Samantha.
Yeah.
You know,
but, and
I'm very blunt and, you know.
I always gravitated towards Miranda because I liked the intellectual side. I liked that, you know, she was a ball buster. She wasn't going to sit back and let crap happen. And now.
There was the scene. Was this scene last week where she was in the car and she's like, I'm in a romantic comedy?
Yes.
Was that in the episode or was that the coming soon?
I think it was the episode because she was running, like she was going to the airport as the episode ended.
I wanted to vomit when I saw that.
Because it doesn't fit her. She's not this flighty person. And you can't say that it's a midlife crisis. And I keep seeing people saying, oh, well, it's one of these revolutionary shows that, you know, the original one, and this is where the core group of women and blah, blah, blah. No, these shows have been out there for years before that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I don't know. I feel like Miranda would have approached it differently. I think this is such a new thing. I think what she, you know, if I was writing it, I would have been like, sat down with Steve, explain what was happening, explain my feelings.
Right.
And not just been like, oh, I'm divorcing you. We're blowing up our marriage. It's like, look, let's have a conversation. I need to explore this.
Relationships have communication. That's
yeah.
the ones that last. And they've been married 20 years or whatever at this point.
Yeah.
It's, or fifth, well, how old is the kid? Whatever. But. I mean, it's so unrealistic. And, you know, there's so many ways. And the only thing that they could explain off the Miranda thing is like, she has a brain tumor. That's the only way that you would go, I'm this powerful lawyer who's taking control of my life and everything around me in New York City to, ooh, I'm flighty and I'm cheating on my husband and blah, blah, blah. That you don't make that drastic of a change.
No, it's really strange. And I don't know. I'm, and you know, it's going to end bad. That's just the whole thing. Everyone knows it's going to end bad.
Yeah.
You know,
Then we're probably going to get 3 more seasons of it and we won't get another one of Dexter. So,
you know, I don't mind giving it more seasons. I think it needs more time. I'm actually would love a season where Carrie's not mourning Big so much.
Right. But I don't think she is.
And that's even.
She when she ruined shoes in the first series, she showed more sympathy and more upset and emotion about losing a pair of shoes than she did about her husband's death.
Well, I think when you go through death, it happens in such a different way for everybody.
Okay, but shoes should not.
You know what I'm saying, though? Like, when you lose someone, like your husband, it's almost like your body can't process it, and it goes out in different ways. Like, what happened when my dad died? You know, it was a weird thing. Like, it came out in different weird ways. So I kind of get what they were trying to do with that. So it didn't shock me necessarily, but I do feel like...
Mike's important today.
I know, and it's, yeah. You know what I mean? I get what they were going with. I don't know if it tracked on screen.
I think they were trying for that, but it was very, like everything else, just one-dimensional.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing. Big was a terrible person.
Oh, he was.
And I mean, you watch that original series, it's like, fuck. And then he leaves her at the altar for no particular reason, just so they could have a plot for the first movie, which I enjoyed the first movie.
Yeah.
And then they get married, but she made the concessions because she wanted the big wedding. And then she didn't get married, just the peace, which was fine. But was that really what she wanted? I don't know.
No, but she also had a track record for some very toxic relationships. So yeah. It was really...
If it was reality and she was supposed to pick the right relationship, you would have Aiden right now.
Right.
Because he was way better for her and he was the nicest human. He was sanding her floors.
Yes.
That man sanded her floors, bought the apartment next to her, did all of that. I mean, my God, she should be blowing him from now to the end of time just for that.
Right. And on that note, random full frontal. Can we...
I was okay with it.
I'm sure you were. But
okay, the hairy one was weird. I mean, obviously that was a prosthetic, but I was like,
I would hope so. Or he,
I don't really need to see that. The second one, I was like, okay,
right. But at the same time, the whole original series and movies, there was no nudity.
So, oh, no.
And these didn't help the story at all.
Boobs everywhere.
Were there boobs everywhere? Well,
you saw Samantha full frontal.
Okay.
When she was checking for her hair. And
I'm just so used to seeing women naked, I guess, in movies and shows.
Well, now you're being sexist.
No, you
have boobs and bush, but you don't want to see a Peter?
I don't care either way. I just don't think it added to the story.
Well, okay. So the original,
either way.
If you remember, so the original series was actually, they were naked quite a bit. I think the only person you did not see naked was Carrie, which obviously isn't her contract. But there was some full frontal men nudity as well. I mean, did not shy away from that.
I don't remember that. But then again, I was also in college, so.
And I mean, I think the interesting thing is a lot of people saw the show in syndication.
Yeah.
So all of those taken out. But if you watch the original episodes, I mean, I know for a fact, Charlotte, I shouldn't say for a fact, but I mean, recollection wise, I remember Miranda, Charlotte, and Samantha, they all had some kind of boob flash. I mean, I remember distinctly Kim Cattrall looking for gray hair in her
Well, okay, that's, and I know which episode you're talking about there, because she dyes it red and it
turns out and it was hilarious.
So I do recall that, but I don't remember. Then again, I may have seen it in syndication because it, you know, I was in college, so I couldn't afford the fancy channels.
People didn't put the two and two together. Yeah. Where the original series was pretty racy. So I didn't, I'm kind of glad in some level. It's like, look, it's good for one, good for the other.
Well, yeah. Like I said, I don't care. I just,
it was random though. I'm not going to lie. That was a random dick flash.
Yes. Random dick flashes all around.
It was just weird. I mean, the hairy one was, I thought that was strange because it was unnecessary. The other one was just kind of fun.
Yeah, you know? You just kind of like, okay.
Because it happens to everybody. I mean, being at the pool, you know, somebody, I remember there was like, we had a guy at the pool and he was changing and he took his shorts off to get a towel on. He dropped the towel by accident. I mean, it's happened, you know, it does happen to guys. That doesn't, it's not unheard of.
Right.
You know, but I think it's kind of nice in some level. I think it's time that
we start seeing full frontal dudes.
Well, women have been full frontal for all this time. You watch the 80s movies, especially, you know, even the comedies. It's like, I was shocked actually watching some of the old, like, I mean, I think it was like Stewardess School or something. And I was like, it's full. She was buck naked walking out. And I was like, wow, you don't even see that now.
Right.
Like, you know, boobs, you might, but like, you know, when it comes lower waist, it's very, very rare they show that now. And it was like 80s were just everywhere.
Because women wear accessories just to be viewed.
And so in some level, you know, playing field leveled, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't mind it. But at the same time, if you're going to do it, make it part of the story and make it do something for the story, not just sit around talking about, oh my God, you still blow your husband.
Well, that was funny. I actually thought that was very Sex in the City. I don't think I needed to see Evan Handler's penis if that was really his. I think it was
right. I don't know if it was or not. I don't want
to. I mean, the way it was, I'm sure it was a prosthetic. But the other guy's thing, I thought that was just funny. I thought that was hilarious. He just did a little towel drop. And it's like, oh, that's funny because it actually happens to people.
Right.
But yeah, I didn't mind it. And I think I was a little shocked there was two in one episode. I would love, there's a lot of penis here.
So there's a series that I've been watching, a friend recommended, called Insecure. It's also on HBO.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen it. I hear it's good.
It is. I do refer to it as butts though, because every episode there's at least one major sex scene and all you see is a bunch of butts.
Oh.
So I stopped talking to my friend Chris all the time. I'm like, oh, there's another butt. And she's like, I'm never watching this show because I just keep saying, oh, look, there's more butts. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go watch more butts now because every episode there's nudity and butts, which fine.
But that's interesting. Okay. So as a society, if we're talking about the 80s, women were naked all the time. You didn't see as much men, obviously, because that was like a no-no to see even a dick flash. But you see a lot of guys' butts, you know what I mean? Like then too, I mean, remember NYPD Blue when they showed all on network television? They probably couldn't do that now. I mean, I think we've gone back to more of a puritanical state with nudity. And it's funny because nudity is just naked people. Everyone's naked. Everyone's got parts, you know, but you can go and watch The Walking Dead where they're shooting and blowing up people, hacking their heads off. You know, guts pouring out. Oh, like their bodies being ripped in half with the family, and it's okay.
Yeah.
Why is that violence okay? And yet something natural like sex is like, oh my God.
Right. You
know, really strange to me. I don't really get it. It's like,
well, I mean, and that's, what was it? Was it Captain Fantastic? Viggo Mortensen? Where he's just standing having his coffee in the bus, just buck ass naked. And the lady walks by and she freaks out. And I mean, everybody in the theater kind of goes, okay, because you're not expecting it. And he's like, it's a penis. We all have them. And I'm like, yeah. So, you know.
Right. And it's especially for that movie because they lived in the woods and,
right.
And it was a whole thing, which makes complete sense. They would be like that.
Right.
And it is a thing. Like I really go, you know, we've gone so far back. And now everyone's so afraid of nudity and, oh my gosh, on the set, which I mean, I totally understand. You want people to be safe. You don't want people to feel exploited. I don't know though. It's like the violence is okay. I mean, even like in the Avengers movies, they're getting blown away everywhere. Yeah. You know, people are dying, getting ripped, eaten by dragons.
The city's getting destroyed. And I always sit there and I wonder how much, and I know somebody's been out there doing it, but calculating the insurance claims after like the Avengers come in New York City, because like,
there would be no New York City.
Right. The amount of damage happening to these places. And these are people in those buildings dying. Nobody talks about those,
no.
You know, but it's, we, like you said, we're okay watching that. But then if you show me a movie where like a puppy gets hurt, no.
Mm-mm. Well, okay, we're not talking about dogs. Let me, don't fuck with the dogs.
I don't watch dog movies. If there's a dog in the title or on the splash poster, nope.
Mm-mm. Like John Wick, I understood his motivation without anything.
You
like,
don't hurt the baby.
That was the best motivation for anything. Mm-hmm. I was like, that was genius. Because
he's still going after him, however many movies.
This guy killed his puppy. The puppy crawled. It was the fucking saddest thing in the world. He goes on a rampage and destroys half the city and kills 1,000 people. Done. I'm with you. Kill them all. You should have gone more. Why aren't the rest of them dead?
Oh, the next one's in 2023. So don't worry. I'm sure there's more.
No, I'm just saying in general, like that was the best. I mean, and, you know, as much as I enjoy the John Wick sequels, they could have stopped it at the one and I'd have been
right.
Now, will I go see the next one?
Absolutely.
First weekend, if there's no COVID.
Right.
Because, absolutely. You know, my love of Keanu, as you know, but, you know, it's a weird thing. And I don't know why. And it's a societal thing. I don't know why it's okay, you know, to show people getting blown away with thousands of guns. And yet, heaven forbid, you show, you know,
a penis
or a boob or a bush. It's like, or non-bush, whatever it may be.
whatever.
It's weird. It's really, really weird. And
it could be just a side effect from the whole, you know, the whole Me Too movement. And like you said, people not wanting to be exploited and not wanting those situations to happen on set.
Well, no, and I mean, look, it's been going on for 30, you know, 50, whatever long Hollywood has been. I mean, there's double standard obviously in the beginning, and then it turns to this, and it turns to this, turns to this. But the 80s were more exploitive, I think, when it comes to nudity, especially for women, and comedy, I think, too. Like, it was really funny to pull a top down and see boobs pop out. That was a joke back then. And you
rape jokes, and even the John Hughes movies, all of those have rape jokes, or, you know, the woman being taken advantage, and all of that's in almost every one of those movies because it was acceptable at the time.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I mean, I don't know that it was actually acceptable, but it was in the movies.
Right.
You know.
No, I mean, it's true. It's like that was just societal.
Right. You know?
And as we change, which is usually a good thing.
Sometimes.
Yeah. It's, you know, and I haven't seen Breakfast Club in quite a while, but I remember there being a few problematic things in there, like when Bender's under the desk and he puts his face in between Molly Ringwald's.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a couple other things, and I love that movie. It's one of my favorite movies.
But all of, I mean, almost all of those movies that we love from back then, if you watch them now, there's a lot of problematic stuff. And it's, you know, I think we've said it before, looking back at these movies with today's eyes, you know, there's a big difference.
Right.
So.
It is a big difference. And I think, I mean, I was watching a movie on the plane. And Vestron is actually re-releasing it on Blu-ray coming up. I think I just put a post on my site about it. I think it's in March. It's called Dream a Little Dream. It's with the Hames, the Coreys, Corey Haim and Corey Feldman. And literally they dropped the F word for gay people like 7 times or something. And they kept going on and on and on. You know, and it was a lot of gay, you know, negative. Very, very, and I was, wow, I hadn't seen it in so long. I thought, oh, that would be a fun little stupid movie, you know, cult classic that I haven't seen in 100 years. And it really is a terrible movie.
But I mean, it's even if you look back at Friends, as much as I've watched that series, I don't know how many times, the gay jokes, the fat phobia, they just all of it.
Kathleen Turner, when she was playing Chandler's mom, I was like, they couldn't do that now. Like, there's no way. And she's great, by the way, in it. But no.
Yeah. It's amazing, like, that was just normal. And I understand, you know, it was a product of the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, we know better. We do better, hopefully, now.
Yeah, it's interesting. It really is interesting how society is moving and shaking a little bit, you know.
Hopefully in the right direction.
Yeah, and that's all we can do. This is a strange thing. We're going to talk about sequels, and then we turned into, you know. I think that's what the kind of the fun thing is when you go into a conversation, you just start talking about a certain specific topic. It is odd, and I cannot put my finger on the violence issue. We are such a violent. We like violence.
We do. Our country does.
And trust me, I write horror movies where people are getting stabbed by machetes, and I love every second of it. I do mine in more of a comedic way on a lot of times, but it is interesting why that is.
You know, I did see a video on TikTok the other day, and the girl's like, you know, you ask why our generation loves horror movies and true crime podcasts. Well, you raised us on like R.L. Stein and Are You Afraid of the Dark and all of those and Unsolved Mysteries. I mean, that was our childhood. So,
yeah,
you know, it's,
you know,
I'm not a huge horror movie fan, but even there's been a couple this past year that, yeah, those were some of the best movies that I watched. Granted, the past couple of years have been a little rough movie releasing. So, you know.
Well, you know, and I think too, kids, if you really look at kids and under a certain age or between a certain age, they have a capacity to look at the dark side of the world. There's a balance. Mm-hmm. And I think kids can understand the darkness. They're interested in it. And they also pull back a little bit, which is why Goosebumps is so popular. Because
right.
The touch of dark, but yet still here, and the endings are always kind of like twisty, and that darkness is kind of, you know, inherent, and I think in society, and it's reflective of society. You know, you can't always get what you want, you don't always get what you want, life kind of suck. You know,
yeah things happen.
I think that's one of the reasons, you know, where we're at. And It will continue to be interesting as we get and progress and see where we go.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, especially with the whole cancel thing, everyone's getting canceled everywhere. It's fascinating. And I think that's going to end soon. I have a feeling it's going to end soon.
Yeah.
Unless being a real dick, you know, I mean, there's certain things you just don't do. The Holocaust should not come out of your mouth unless you're talking about it in a very specific way. You know, like, what the hell?
Right.
I don't get it. It's
like, I mean, there's certain people and certain things, like Bill Cosby. I understand him being canceled.
Like, well, of course. I mean, come on.
That I understand. But
I don't think anyone, and let me tell you, if someone's defending Bill Cosby, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't want them in our circle. They can't sit with them.
Which really was like, I mean, I understand. People on his show who had a relationship with him, that's a difficult thing, because right. You are friends and you see a perspective and you don't see the other side, and you only see one side of someone because you only see what people want you to see. And then you go, he's, you know, drugging women and doing this. It's very hard to wrap your brain around that.
But that type of situation, you expect them to be gone. Yeah. You know, you can't come back from that. Some of the other stuff, you can't come back from. But then when it comes to, like, right now, the whole Carhartt thing happening, and people, I'm like, you want small businesses to make their own rules. They're making their own rule, and now you're canceling them. You can't do that. You have to come to something. So, you know, come to a balance, stick by one conviction or the other. I don't know.
Right. And, you know, you have somebody, you know, and it's like you're on a podcast.
Irony.
And, you know, like Joe Rogan will talk about different things about what he sees. And I'm not a big fan. Although he was great at news radio. I mean, one of my favorite shows is news radio. I miss that era of the quirky comedies. And, you know, he starts spouting that information off and you're just like, all right.
He's going to give himself a coronary, but that's okay.
I don't know where you're going to get that information from. And okay, fine. You know, and then you have Fox who's promotes Tucker Carlson and these other news hosts that are just insanity.
Yeah.
You know,
but like right now, if we even talk about like the outrage of the whole M&M's changing, they change the shoes. First of all, it is the stupidest change they could ever make because, oh, we're more inclusive because she's not in kitten heels anymore. She's in regular tennis shoes.
Who gives a crap?
You know,
I have friends who wear those kind of boots all the time.
Right. Like, who cares? And then so many people are outraged by it. And I'm like, first of all, if you go back to like the 90s, that was a dude. So technically, there's already been a major change you missed. So
it's an M&M.
Right. It's an M&M. And I don't care. It's not going to make me buy it or not buy it. I like their Christmas commercials they make with the M&Ms. That's about it.
Yeah, it's just stop.
It's so stupid. Like, why cancel them over just a little green M&M shoes?
Yeah, it's weird.
It's very bizarre, and I think at some point...
It's just changing a character. It's like, what? How many times do characters change? You know, you got Mickey Mouse from the...
From Oswald.
Yeah, to now. The new version of Mickey Mouse is so weird.
Right?
I still dislike his
voice either way. I've never liked Mickey's voice, so...
The new Mickey voice?
No, any of them. Like, that high pitch, whatever, Mickey's voice is... And people give me crap because I love Disney. I just can't stand Mickey's voice.
Oh, interesting.
So I don't mind Minnie and I don't mind the other characters, but Mickey's voice to me is like chalk or nails on a chalkboard. I just can't do it. So, yeah.
I mean, the new Disney, the animated, it's so odd.
Like, it is very. But it's also what kids are drawn towards. So it's their, you know, their version of Mickey.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not, no judgment. I'm like, well, whatever. I mean, I'm not watching it, so who cares?
Exactly. I get occasional shorts in my screening room and I watch them. And I'm like, okay. And then moving on.
Yeah.
You know.
So before we leave, Becky, yes, what are you watching this week?
The rest of the week? Nothing.
Well, no, not this week, but next week. What are you watching?
Oh, well, I have 3 invites that I'm not going to.
Oh, great. I'm glad you're not going.
Okay. So one is Moonfall.
You want to see that. I mean, it looks interesting.
I mean, I do want to see it too, but with the case numbers right now, and it's an open public screening.
Oh.
So I'm kind of hesitant about that. The other one was, oh crap. I don't know. I know the third one that I wasn't going to go to anyhow was Jackass. Because. Oh. I don't know that I've seen any of the first 3 nor care to. It's not my type of movie. I saw
one and it was funny-ish. But,
yeah. And then there was another one that I was kind of about, and I obviously so much cared that I forgot the name of it. But it was one that I wasn't, like, I wouldn't rush to the theater to see anyhow, and they don't have links available because those studios aren't providing them.
Oh, okay.
So, which sucks, but... You know, it is what it is. If they want us to see it, they'll provide the link. If they don't, I mean, the same day I got the invite for the first 2, Moonfall and whatever the other one was, there was a news article that came up like within 5 minutes that this a 6th major hospital in the state has a National Guard coming in.
Yeah, so, you know.
It's this balance. I still have enough coverage of other stuff coming in. So I'm not worried, but I'm not putting myself at risk for a movie.
No, that completely makes sense. And I, you know, no one wants to get this. Let me tell you, I just had it and it's awful. Some people don't get it as bad as I did, so whatever. But I had it bad and I do not.
And you were vaccinated.
And I don't suggest just going out and doing things willy-nilly. Right. With that said, I'm going out to see Guillermo del Toro tonight and Sunday.
Again, 3rd week in a row.
I've got 15 more things to get signed. Don't you judge me, Becky Fixel. Don't you judge me.
Okay, so yeah, if it's something that's important or whatever, like sometime this week coming up, I have to go get packages at my business address and I'll probably go to the butcher. Those are things I'm okay going out and doing, you know, getting essential stuff done, but I'm going to do that before the snowstorm snows us in. But also that snowstorm is coming the same 2 days that the screenings are. Yeah. So I'm not going to battle 10 inches of snow to see movies I don't really want to see anyhow.
Right.
In theaters packed with people.
And I have to say, I'm excited that Kingsman is coming to Hulu in February. I think that's going to be really fun. I can't wait because I'm really excited to see it. And I didn't get a chance to go to the theaters to see it because I didn't go to the theaters except to see anything because one, I was sick, and two, I'm not going to a theater. But so I'm excited that it's coming to Hulu. And I just got a notice for the new Zach Levi film, Underdog, which I hear is really good.
I didn't see that one. The only reason I didn't go, American Underdog, I didn't see that one. I was supposed to. The numbers were high, and it's a sports movie, and I could care less. So if I'm going to a movie and it's something that I really don't care about, I'm not going to stress myself. You know? Yeah,
and that's coming out on February 4th on digital. So
yes. Now, did you see one movie that I'm disappointed got moved? I understand why they moved it. Downton Abbey got moved to May.
Oh.
And I'm disappointed, but I understand why, because mid-March it may not be safe or they may not get a lot of people in.
Well, no one really knows what's going to happen. So it's
right. I mean, they're saying that they think the next version or variant won't be as bad, but they don't know. So
yeah, it's, you know, hopefully there isn't another variant.
They're already watching one, but
yeah, the B plot, it's here in LA. They found some cases of it, but hopefully, you know,
I'm just hopeful that, you know, at some point that we will have more precedented times, because I'm so sick of hearing about we're in unprecedented times. Like at this point, some sort of normalcy. I mean, I'm doing what I can here, like planting gardens and doing whatever for the spring, but eventually, and I think that's part of the reason winter gets so hard here too. We have really crappy movies these 2 months.
It's right.
Cold as crap out, which already makes me not want to go outside. And yeah, it's not like we can see friends and family, go out for drinks or whatever. I mean, we could, but you know, I have several friends that are down for the second or even third time with COVID because they're not vaccinated.
It's tough. And I'll tell you, we have a screening on Monday of Belfast.
You haven't seen that one yet?
I haven't seen that one yet. The cast is supposed to be there. So we have, you know, LA is kind of getting some in-person stuff, but it's still very virtual. You know, this is award season. Mm-hmm. So usually I will be bombarded with events right now, and it's like still cricket.
Well, and you know, you guys have much stricter rules, like you have to have a vaccination card to get in places.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have that here,
right?
So, and that's part of my hesitation, like if they had, like some of the studios make you sign a little waiver that yes, you don't have symptoms or you've been vaccinated,
right,
whatever. One specific one, actually, and the rest just don't care.
Yeah, Netflix, when we were here for their events, they tested you before you went in.
Netflix was sending tests for the things here, which is great. I still have a couple of those, which is good because the free ones from the government still haven't shown up.
Mine either.
Well, I'm glad I'm not alone, because you know, we're seeing news stories that say if they come in the mail, get them in the house fast because the cold can ruin them. It's January in Michigan. I think our real feel is 10 degrees. Like, what do you want from me here? So, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's this weird place. I'm doing as many virtual as I can.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's what we're living in right now. I mean, and hopefully another year it'll be done. And, you know.
Hopefully. You know, I'd love to travel sometime again in this life.
I just want life to get to kind of
normal,
back to a normalcy that we can all kind of just live in, you know what I mean? You know, just like,
go to the movies and not worry about it.
Yeah, right.
And that sounds like, it sounds so weird that that is a concern. But I mean, I forget which, I think it was Dune, that some random guy came and sat next to me in the press section and was hacking up a lung.
No.
I mean, I was already not enjoying the movie. And then that, and I was like, there's all these other seats. And I know you're not that guy, because I know that guy. And he's not here. So you shouldn't be in his seat.
Yeah.
So it's just, I just don't trust people enough, I guess.
So, no, I'm with you.
It's this weird, weird time we're in. And I would like more precedented times. You know.
Yeah, I like precedented. It's like, it's normal. It's boring. I'm okay with that right now.
Right. I mean, normally my garden wouldn't be as big as it is because I'm traveling and I can't take care of it. Before COVID, I was on a plane every 3 weeks traveling for the site. So I've been home for 2 years straight now. It's just kind of, it's really weird. I don't know.
All right.
Yeah. So nice and cheery end to our random conversation today.
I know. Wow. Woo-hoo.
I know. It's okay. I do know whatever swag I get, Mike can't come get it. So
it's very sad to me.
Well, you won't come get it because it's in Michigan and you don't want to come here anyhow.
That is truth.
Especially in winter.
Yes, it's very sad.
So.
All right, love. Well, it's always a pleasure. And to everybody out there watching in New Zealand, please stay well.
Yeah.
And,
we'll stay here. Hopefully we'll get in the top 50, not the 51st.
Hey, but that's great. That's what we're shameless. New Zealand, we love you.
Right. I haven't been there yet. When this is done.
I want you so bad. I've always wanted to go.
Jason's sister went. She studied abroad there for 6 months.
No way.
Yeah. So someday we'll get there, you know, in more precedented times.
I'm going to see Hobbiton.
Of course you do.
Well, hello.
You fall for Hobbiton. Hobbiton.
I can go on my knees.
And on that note, we are going to end. Thank you all for listening. And we will be back next week with more randomness. Bye.